79.77 Mid-Michigan's favorite hits on a Wednesday morning with Brad Morgan on the St. Patrick's Day. Continuing our discussion this morning with Dennis Drew from 10,000 Maniacs on the history of the band. We talked about how the pandemic has affected the arts. And we left off a conversation yesterday talking about the band's debut album on Elektra, The Wishing Chair, making that record in England with Joe Boyd. And this morning we're going to continue our conversation with focusing on an era of the band that began in 1986 and went right through about 1992, and how the band wrote their songs from In My Tribe right through Our Time in Eden. So Dennis, the band released The Wishing Chair, you had some success, you toured a lot, you played a lot, and then made another record. The one that probably a lot of our audience picked up on in 1987, In My Tribe, with producer Peter Asher. Once again, our conversation picks up with 10,000 Maniacs founding member, keyboard player, Dennis Drew. Good morning and welcome back, Dennis.
John had left the band sometime between The Wishing Chair and In My Tribe, and all of you kind of stepped up as songwriters, you and Rob and Natalie. And Dennis, In My Tribe, such a great album. I want to ask you about, as a writer, about Don't Talk, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
What a great song.
Yeah, thank you. That song was based on a movement from a D major chord to a D major seventh chord. Just a simple thing like that. I've become fascinated with major seventh chords ever since then. But kind of a jazz chord, a jazzy kind of chord.
Yeah.
So it was just that movement, which was actually inspired by a Jimi Hendrix song. Golden Rose, Color of a Dream I Had. Is that Axis Bold as Love or one of those songs, which was this movement from a major chord to a major seventh chord. So I just loved that and just started playing the piano, hanging out, still living at home with my parents at a piano in the living room where I would sit after dinner and when we were home and play. And I wrote that song based on that chord structure. Then, of course, your basic chorus-type chords. And Natalie, I can't even remember. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. And then Natalie contributed a section to that musically. She played piano. I can't remember which section, one of those chord changes. I think there was a little coda at the end of each verse that she added. What we did in those days is Natalie never sang at rehearsal. Never.
Wow.
We never heard anything she ever did until we got on stage, usually. She would listen, and we would tape things on like a little cassette, blaster, a little portable cassette player thing, with the two speakers on it that you put on your shoulder and you walk down the street and you listen to that. We recorded everything on that in the early days, and at rehearsal, instrumentally, we just played instrumentally and often would do the complete arrangement. I mean, sometimes she'd say, do the chorus again here, but we'd never really heard what she was singing. She'd go home and sing over it in her bedroom or in her upstairs room over on Price Street in Jamestown and then come in, and then we'd get to a sound check and she'd sing. It usually would take her a while to edit lyrics and to change lyrics. We would often do songs, including Don't Talk, live with nothing but gibberish. She would just sing gibberish and try to sing the melody and get a sense of it. And eventually, through the gibberish and the melody, would come up with words and put words together. I'll give you the greatest example of all time of that way of writing songs. This way of writing songs lasted all the way through our entire career with Natalie. We never really heard anything she was writing. Never really showed us until we did it live or in a sound check. And in fact, the song These Are Days, we played live as an instrumental, sometimes with her gibberish over it, for weeks before we ever recorded These Are Days. We recorded These Are Days at Bearsville Studio in the spring of 92, never completely instrumental. We had no idea that there were going to be words, what it was going to be about. Most of the melody is contained, if you listen, most of the melody is contained in the organ part and the guitar part. You could see where the melody is, mm-hmm. and she followed that melody. We didn't hear the words to that until the song was finished.
Wow!
And when after we had done our part, we usually would record everything instrumentally, sometimes with guide vocals if she had worked on them, because we almost always played these songs live before we ever recorded them, really. So we had heard most of them, but never heard the words to that song until it was she had done the vocal at Bearsville with Paul Fox. So that's the way she worked on her own there. We were the music, and she was the singer, and it seemed to have worked out pretty good generally. And, you know, Don't Talk was a lot like that in a lot of those songs until we got on stage, and then, of course, you couldn't hear anything on stage either, so I was never really very sure of what she was saying.
You know, from that same era, there's another song that you co-wrote called "Trouble Me." That's I'm curious how that came about. That's one of those songs that is very catchy, and it's a great story. And you wrote the music for that one, Dennis, right?
Yeah, I have no idea what the technical term on some of that stuff is, but I had Joe Boyd had given us a bunch of. Joe Boyd had a record label called Hannibal Records, and. So I gotten a lot of CDs and records from Joe from around the world, because mm-hmm. Joe was really big into having, you know, Romanian bands and Yugoslavian bands, South African bands, and music from all over the world. So I was listening to a lot of world music, and I was working on a thing with that basic chord structure, but I had it in 3/4 time, 3/4 time.
Okay.
It was a different thing, really. And that main structure of Trouble Me, the three chords, was actually a coda at the end of something else I was writing. And when I brought it to the band, somehow I got nervous about the rest of the song and didn't like it. And I did it backwards. I played the coda as the main part of the song, uh-huh. and then added what is essentially the same, very similar piece from Don't Talk, a little G to a B minor to an E minor thing. And I just put it together almost on the spot in a rehearsal with the band. And I was so nervous, instead of playing it in 4/4, I played, some of the measures were 2/4 measures. I didn't even realize it. And so we put that together. Everybody liked it. There were no words or anything. Peter Asher came to town. Peter Asher is a wonderful guy too. He came into town to work to hear what we were working on for our second record with him, and we played that. And Natalie kind of gibberished around on it a little bit and sang to it a little bit, and we got done playing that one for him, and he said, "That's a hit song."
Wow.
And we said, "What, really?" He goes, "Yeah, that's a hit song." And he goes, "That 2/4 measure is fantastic. I don't know what you're talking about, but we'll keep playing it like this." and that's the way that one worked. Lucky, you know, you just got to try different things and just keep playing and making noise, and eventually something works.
And something worked in a big way for the band. Let's play that song Dennis talked about from Blind Man Zoo from the summer of 1989. Here's 10,000 Maniacs this morning and Trouble Me, co-written by the great Dennis Drew.